It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as usual, on this not actually so beautiful Saturday morning, but not bad. If you don't have to shovel it, it's okay with me, I say. 41 of those years was enough. Anyway, welcome back, everybody, all the regulars. We appreciate you being here. And if you're new to the show, we've either gotten it on a drive-by basis or perhaps someone told you about it. Maybe even us. You never know. But try to stick around for the hour. We'll have some fun, and we'll definitely look forward to everybody taking something away from this that they can actually use. You will learn something. Hopefully, you'll be able to use that something. Things are looking pretty good out there. It's going to be another fun week. I've got some comments on everything from, my gosh, taxes to who knows. It's just there's so much going on right now, and it's some of it's big stuff and some of it's little stuff, but it all affects you. And let's face it, that's why we're here, because we're about how do these things affect you. So in general, let's say that you, if you have any money invested, probably started out this week and ended up this week in two different positions, one being better than the other, because it was another solid week. We are on a tear right now. The 2 weeks ago was fantastic, and 3 weeks ago was good, and this week was good, and it's just wonderful watching this, and the real question to me is, how long will it last? But first, I wanted to talk a minute about something that I thought about this week, and I'm not sure what brought it up for me. I'm never sure where some of the stuff comes from when I get up early in the morning. I'm just kind of wandering through the financial world, I guess. Everybody would probably agree with me that podcasts are a hot thing right now. And I personally don't really care for podcasts.
Well, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean you don't care for podcasts?
Well, if I have to think about something and say, okay, I'm going to go listen to this podcast now, it's much less exciting to me than clicking on a TV or a radio and having something occurring right at that moment. So I've been thinking about this a lot with regard to this show, because we're in our seventh year now doing the show, and we have not missed a live show ever except for two times when we were evacuated from the city because there were hurricanes coming our way, so we didn't really have the choice. But I'm a child of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I was one of those long-haired FM types. That was the radio we listened to back then. But when we got into adulthood and into the 80s, I started getting caught up in the talk radio thing, which was really just starting to boom. Rush and so on were starting to happen. And I got very intrigued, and part of the path that brought me to this chair today was that very talk radio boom. It intrigued me from the beginning, and I didn't want to be the day-to-day political commentator or anything like that, but when I first got interested in this business 20 years ago, I loved the radio shows that talked about this stuff, and I decided I'd really like to do that. That sort of led me on the road to doing this. But I also find myself complaining frequently to myself and others that a lot of the radio programs, the personal financial type radio programs, whether it's investing or the topics we cover aside from that, they're really just podcasts. Now, I don't know what it costs to put on a podcast, but I know what it costs to put on a radio show. And I got a funny feeling podcasting is really cheap. Adam, is that you agree with that?
It can
you know
be,
more
yeah.
than I do.
You can set up a good podcast out of your bedroom with a nice computer and a good microphone. Mm-hmm. Though it ranges a lot, because some of them are big and they have huge production teams that do research and are quite expensive to produce. And then you've got a guy, you know, who similar to us, that has a story to tell, grabs a microphone, records it, edits it himself, hosts it. there are free hosting platforms, and you can get it launched on all the big services for relatively cheap. So it ranges.
Okay. And, you know, there's nothing really wrong with it. But to me, it just doesn't have that draw that live radio has. You can't do a podcast and take live phone calls unless there's somebody doing it that I don't know about, because you'd have to have an audience that's listening to you record the podcast.
The ones that do that typically are radio shows that take the live calls and then put it out as a podcast. Okay. So there are several of those that I listen to. And yeah, so it really ranges.
But unless you're doing it at the time, you have no control.
And right.
I love that. And everybody who's known me or listened to me over the last, 18 years or so that I've been doing radio, they know that the days that Adam and I both get pumped up and have a really good time, when more people call and ask questions about all kinds of things. And the real fun part is you never know what the next caller is going to talk about. So our motto is you call in, you go directly to the head of the line, we talk about whatever you want. Hopefully we'll know something about it. Once in a while we get stumped, so we promise we'll have the answer for you by next week. But I love the interaction that radio brings you. And I can't figure out why so many of these people play reruns of their own show or podcasts of their own show, which is all they really are, which is just my way of saying, I think this Saturday morning lineup with Joe Pippin, the attorney, and Howard and Angela, the realtors, and Adam and me on the financial end, that 3-hour stretch right there of interactive live radio is just more fun than a barrel of monkeys to me. You know, why I brought this up, I don't know. Like I said, it was on my mind. So that's that.
Okay.
But we really appreciate our audience and all the phone calls we get.
Yeah, we love hearing from our audience, people that email us after the show and people that call in or even come and see us and say they heard us on the radio. It's always flattering to hear that.
It is, absolutely. All right, that said, let's talk about making some money.
We can. And if you were in the market this week, chances are you did make some money. We saw more record levels in the stock market, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow, and even the Europe Stock 600 all hit record levels this week. What's driving that? Multiple factors, as usual. A few of the forces at work this week included earnings season kicking off and seeing some very strong bank results, treasury rates plummeting. The 10-year yield dropped under 1.6% this week, a Fed that is committed to keeping rates low in an inflationary environment, and the promise of the economy continuing to reopen in places that are still on lockdown during the remainder of this year. So those four things, I think, are the main catalysts for the stock market to continue its upward trajectory in 2021. And you might be saying, but there's headwinds, and there's no doubt about it. There is. Valuations are really high. The current administration is hardly pro-business. Social unrest seems to be regaining momentum across the country, and we haven't kicked coronavirus just yet. However, the more compelling story, in my opinion, are the tailwinds. The headwinds are there, but I think the tailwinds are stronger.
I think exactly right. If you were sailing, you'd be sailing with a little help.
I agree.
Right. All right, I was just informed by my erudite research department that at the time when we logged on today, the internet logged off.
Yeah, I was having trouble pulling up my notes because I couldn't get onto the internet here, which has been an intermittent problem in this building.
It has
for a few weeks or so.
Yeah. Alan is waving at me and smiling.
One of the other radio stations is operating on the internet, so they're off.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what that's going to mean for us today, but hopefully... Well, we're going to do the show one way or the other. I hope you all can hear it. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we will have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, we do have a call on the line, and I will get to it immediately, except I would like to let him get a shot at the trivia question. So I'm going to throw that in first, and then we'll get back to the market wrap. Prior to 2018, the highest lumber prices in this country, highest price ever, was about $500 per 1,000 board feet. Now, what is that price today? And I'm going to give you all a big head start. It's higher today than it was then. How's that for a big head start? So what is the price of lumber today? I got the quote this morning off the internet. And it is eye-opening, jaw-dropping, whatever you want to call it. Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning. Good morning. You said 2018 was 500?
Yep.
I'll go for 1,000.
And you, my friend, are too low.
Well, good. I've got people started.
Yes, you do. You bracketed it very nicely on the lower end.
Okay. My first thought is, I second your vote for being live.
Yeah.
You guys make everybody part of the family getting educated. And I'm sure that comes through to a lot of other people as well. And some of us make an appointment radio. So
that
is the great value.
That is one of the nicest things I've ever heard. And we do know that our audience is growing because we hear from more and more people all the time. And I like to think that the format has an awful lot to do with it, because you do get to participate. And us old people really like that.
Sure.
I'm looking at Adam. He's not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think I'm in that group.
Yeah, he's catching up.
Your kids probably would say that. My question for you, ROFX, is that something you have any familiarity with?
I do not. Adam is typing in some numbers if we can get them, and I don't know. What is it?
There is an international group who uses artificial intelligence to play the foreign exchange market.
Ah.
And evidently they have done so well in their business plan and in their ability to protect from major mistakes that Warren Buffett is going to be part of their IPO.
Whoa.
So it's an interesting, I mean, I had a client that was invested in this, and I'm looking at what he had done over a period of time, and I thought, wow, well, that makes sense. You know, foreign exchanges have those little changes.
Yes, they do.
And artificial intelligence learns over time what those whipsaws could be, which really stabilizes the market even more. So, wow, I just thought it was a fascinating read that I put in there. It did confuse me a little bit because he can't get actual statements,
ooh,
you know, like the warnings from the Bernie Madoff days.
Yep.
But
dead
they work
Bernie.
Off of an app. They work off of an app that you can, you know, go on to see where your account is, et cetera. And you do have to leave it with them for a minimum period of time. But this man's been doing it for a year and a half and has done very well.
Well, so, I promise you one thing. 1 week from right now, I will know a lot more about it than I do right now.
Yeah, funny, Marshall. I actually read an article this week about AI ETFs that are coming out. Or
George was
available.
Talking about it on the show last week, too.
Yeah. And
the topic is hot.
It is a hot topic. I would want to see more long-term results before I put money into it for clients, but it's definitely an interesting strategy, and the potential is there for them to outpace other strategies, but it's just not proven yet. A year and a half isn't enough to convince me. Anyone can look good for a year and a half,
that's
but
true.
I want to see at least a 5 to 10 year return.
I don't disagree.
Well, I don't know that they've not been in business that long. This gentleman had just been with it for a year and a half.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he was not a very sophisticated investor. It just one of those that he got friend of a friend that said, he looked at it and he said, yes, I'm going to park this amount of money there. And I just thought it was interesting. Well, again,
it is interesting.
Gentlemen, enjoy hearing from both of you live.
Marshall,
well, thank you, Marshall,
we always appreciate it. It's always fun when we see your name pop up on the board, because we know it'll be an interesting call.
Thank you, sirs.
Thank you. Have
Bye-bye.
A good one. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful. And you?
Good. I'm doing well. We haven't talked in a while. But I wanted to take a stab at the question.
All right.
But
sure.
I didn't hear the previous caller's. Yeah.
Marshall said 1,000, and he is light.
Okay, so maybe I can dovetail this and make the show even more exciting.
Well, let's see what we can do.
So I just came from Lowe's, and I just bought some 2x4.
Feeling poor, are you?
I'm sorry?
Feeling poor, are you?
Yes. And so I had some discussions with some people down there while we were waiting for a cashier. I thought I was in Walmart for a moment. But so about a year ago, I paid, roughly $295 or so for a 2x4. Today, I paid almost $12 a piece.
Wow.
So, I'm going to say that it's that the price of lumber. Your question is, again, let me make sure I understand it.
It's the prices for per 10,000 or per 1,000 board feet. So this is not a specific dimensional lumber. It's a contract.
Right. It's a futures contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to get, and so before I give you my number, so I was talking to the clerk there, and now in Lowe's, they have these little electronic devices for the pricing because the material is changing. I said, oh, so do you update your prices each week? He goes, no, every day. So the pricing, which I'm sure is connected to the futures market,
absolutely,
is updated. Yeah, updated daily.
Wow,
kind of like how your gasoline is.
Yeah,
at the gas station. Yeah.
Price at time of delivery.
Yes. Well, actually, they may have paid a lot less for it a week ago. It's just what the current market is willing to do.
At retail, whether it's wood or gas, it doesn't matter. It's what it's going to cost you to replace it that matters.
Right. So I'm going to say $4,000.
All right, you're too high because you're dealing with a specific problem, but you have bracketed it now exactly right. And I'm talking about current. Now, I will tell you something. You're very close to the estimate of 1 year out on the futures market. You're very close.
Okay.
But the shorter it gets, the lesser the price.
Right.
They're speculating on the long term. But yeah, actually, that I'm glad you brought all that up because it starts to make a little more sense about how things like commodity futures work.
Well, it's based on my personal experience, and then you have plywood going for roughly $50 a sheet.
Yeah. Unbelievable,
isn't it? That's junk.
Yeah, for half inch plywood, $50 a sheet.
That's the stuff they swept off the floor and put some glue in it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. No. And then for people to say the Fed to say that, inflation is pretty well tamed. There's a dislocation in the market there, I think, on many levels, actually.
Hey, you want to hear a great quote from this week? I read this Thursday. This was quoted by Jerry Bowyer, Town Hall. I guess he said, he actually said it. In response to the Fed saying they are not concerned about inflation for 10 years, Bowyer says, seems like a hawkish sign to me. When the Fed is nonchalant about inflation risks, we should be chalant. I loved it.
Yeah.
What a wordsmith.
And if anybody wants to learn about what I believe we're going to be facing in the next several years, I think they should go back and look at the inflation, what happened in the early 70s, because, Ray Dalio keeps talking about how, he follows history pretty closely.
Right.
And he talks about how it repeats. I think the cycle that we're looking at, both politically, I believe also internationally, and I think also economically, mimics a lot of what occurred in the 70s. I was around then. I was about 16 years old, but I remember a lot. And I actually did a refresher course this last week and reread everything. And
I was working in the big corporation back then, and we were subject to wage and price controls and all that went with it. You remember? That's when all of a sudden fringe benefits got carried away because they had not been tapped into the wage controls. So that all started the whole mushrooming thing with health insurance and all that. It was a bad time. Thank you to Mr. Nixon.
And the Middle East War.
Yeah.
And the Middle East War.
And the elimination of the gold standard. You talk about a perfect storm. That was it.
Yep.
All right.
I think we're getting close.
We got, yeah, I agree with you. We got to run. I really appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Wow, things are cooking today, aren't they? Lots more to say after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have yet to get back to the market wrap, which is going to be fun because it was so good. But I did want to remind everybody that the trivia question is still out there, and we have offered you a bracket. The highest price for lumber, the futures price, meaning 1,000 board feet, prior to 2018 was about $500. What is it today, and it's above 1,000, and it's below 4,000? And I've got a bracket on it. I'm not going to tell you how big it is, but I'll tell you if you're right. Good enough. All right, back to the market this week.
Yeah, it was a really good week. The NASDAQ rose 1.1%, the Dow was up 1.2%, and the S&P was up 1.4%. It was a good week across all the indexes, and the same story with the year-to-date numbers. The NASDAQ is up 9% year-to-date, S&P up 11.4%, and Dow up 11.7%.
So we've had a good year.
Yeah.
Let's hang it up.
Can we just stop right now?
I think we should.
This was not necessarily the case with all of the indexes being so close. Even a few weeks ago, the NASDAQ was lagging the other two by a decent amount. And then last year, you saw the NASDAQ outperform by a really wide margin. So the fact that they're all trading together is kind of a reversal from what we've seen in recent trading.
Very broad-based success going on out there right now.
No doubt. I mentioned bank earnings a little while ago, and this week we saw Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, and Goldman release their first quarter results. So all three beat on earnings and revenues, and in the case of Goldman, they beat their revenue estimate by 51%. I would call that a pretty good quarter.
I would call that some pretty bad estimate.
With that too. In other earnings news, Delta Airlines managed to return to positive cash flow from flight operations last month. Yeah,
on a daily basis.
A very interesting sign that airline travel is returning. J.B. Hunt, the major trucking company, reported major issues sourcing drivers, while Pepsi reported that their largest issues came from sourcing transportation for their products. So I think this is going to be a recurring theme in 2021. Finding people to drive trucks and finding transportation for vehicles or for products on ocean liners and things like that, really, really difficult right now.
And finding politicians who have one tiny iota of understanding of economics.
Yeah, one thing you really shouldn't see during a period when we have close to 4 million people unemployed who were employed before is labor shortages.
No.
It doesn't add up, and there's got to be a reason for it. The only thing that makes sense to me is that people are collecting large unemployment checks, and I don't blame them for this. If you can make more sitting at home than you can going to work, then sit home.
If you net out the same or better by not working, only a moron would fail to recognize that.
No doubt about it. So we need to give incentive to go back to work, and what that means is making those unemployment checks available to people who really need them, but not to people who don't need them.
But Adam, they've got the answer. Raise the minimum wage.
Okay. We're not going to get into that today.
No, we're not.
So on a very small sample, under 30 companies, I believe, the earnings beat rate stands at 74% and revenue at 67%. Really good start to earnings season. Hopefully it's telling of what is going to come in the coming weeks. Commodities pricing, as we have been speaking about with our trivia question, it's an area we've been looking at the last few months. The commodity prices in general are up about 50% from a year ago, and that's with gold and silver dragging them down. So you think about if you strip out gold and silver, you actually have seen some pretty astounding price moves up in the commodities market.
Now, in all fairness, some of those were from reduced levels.
That's true, but
not 50%.
But a 50-60% increase is still a 50-60% increase.
Exactly, so, right.
The other thing is that this is a, like so many things in economics, it's a double-edged sword. So when you look at prices inflating like this, it's on strong demand. So that's a really good thing. It's a positive sign for the economy. Of course, when you pull out your wallet at Lowe's or Home Depot, it hurts the individual, but the companies that produce that lumber are going to have banner years. They're going to be selling more lumber at inflated prices, so they're going to have huge profits and be able to reinvest that in their infrastructure and create more lumber, which will drive the price of lumber down. So ironically, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot in the long run, but in the short term, they're going to look really good. So
yeah, unfortunately, there's a political influence on that one too, where it's going to be harder and harder to do logging, and the foreign countries like Canada who are shipping us are very, they've got this dollar signs in their eyes.
Sure.
There are some artificial things going on to what should be a wide open supply demand curve.
Well, especially when you think that trees are the world's only renewable resource.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's that. But so it's a good thing and a bad thing. It hurts when you go to pay for things, but it's good for the economy, and you'll like it. You'll like the results in your 401k.
That you will.
Just to mention, we haven't forgotten about COVID, but it's pretty clear we're well on our way to herd immunity, no matter what the press tries to convince you of on a daily basis. Almost 40% of the country has received partial or full vaccines, and that is despite the rate of vaccine distribution falling this week.
Good morning, Ron.
Hi. Good morning. How are you, gentlemen, today?
I absolutely wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Funny you should just mention the vaccine. That's the reason I was calling. I had the first shot, and I had already suffered from vertigo before that, and my vertigo is off the wall since February the 22nd. And I just kind of wanted to give a shout out there to anybody that has vertigo. Stay away from this thing. I mean, I need a vaccine for the vaccine.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
I don't want to encourage people to stay away from the vaccine, but do make sure that your medical condition is not going to be affected by anything that you put in your body. So, but I'm glad you got vaccinated and are staying safe out there, Ron.
Well, I only took the first shot. I'm not getting the second one. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Well, that's really effective anyway. If you look at the numbers after one shot, you could go without the second one, especially if you've got a medical reason to do so. And I think you can still feel pretty good about where you stand with it.
Yeah, for sure. Is it 65%?
At least.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just been in the last couple of weeks that I've gotten my vertigo under control, and then everybody says the second shot is even more intrusive.
Yeah, I had a bad reaction with my second one. Not terrible, but 36 hours of being sound asleep, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's better than getting COVID, though, because I did that, and it's not super fun. So let's, it was fine. It was like a flu. I had basically a mild flu, but it lasted for 10 solid days, and that was not a great time.
No.
Okay. Not fun. Okay. Because I don't mean to be, flipping about this, but I've been telling other people at work I'd rather get COVID than take the second shot, and obviously I'm wrong.
Well, you have a specific case,
right?
So everybody has to contend with whatever it is in their personal makeup. But anyway, do you want to take a shot at our trivia question?
Yeah, I don't know, how about $1,200?
Ooh, you're sneaking up. You're still a little low though. But you're helping people bracket this thing very well.
Okay. Well, I'm doing something then.
Yeah. We appreciate the call, and I hope you keep feeling better.
Thank you, sir. I was just going to say real quickly, I was telling my wife how glad I am that we built our home 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't be.
No kidding.
Yeah, for two reasons. It costs you less, and it's going up like crazy.
Yes.
Love it.
And it's a 2,400 square foot home. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but it's very beautiful home.
That's,
and I figure it probably would cost us at least $40,000 more.
That's light. I think that might be just the lumber difference, if not more.
Yeah,
that's true. And the labor costs, because it's hard now because everybody's building
exactly
to find people to build homes. So
precisely right.
But anyway, I've been all over the board, but I just want to tell you, gentlemen, how much I enjoy your show every week.
Oh, we appreciate
that.
You guys
do a great job.
Thanks, Ron.
We appreciate it.
I make it a point to listen every week.
Well, thanks. Call back anytime. We appreciate it.
We will. Thanks. Have a great day. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's anybody who did something like that, building back five years ago or so,
yeah.
you gotta kind of sit back and smile and say, sometimes you eat the bear and sometimes the bear eats you, right?
Yep.
A lot of people looking at building right now that aren't going to get it done all that soon. All right, we only have a few seconds. You want to wrap up anything particular on the...
Yeah, there's a little bit more about COVID I'd like to get into, but I need more than 20 seconds, so
I'm going to tell you something that caught my eye about the banking this morning that I really like. They're starting to release lots of money from the reserves into the earnings, which means business is improving.
Yep.
I'll touch on that in a couple of minutes right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I did want to take a minute to thank personally every single person who's listening today, as I know how hard it was for you to drag yourselves away for this hour from the three-hour extravaganza that is Prince Philip's funeral. And it's so meaningful for all of us. I'm just really grateful that you'd pull an hour out of that and listen to this show. And the look on Adam's face says it all.
I do have one upcoming announcement as well. Our good friends lost their son, it's been over a year now, and they are doing a golf tournament over at Queens Harbor on May 2nd. The response has been overwhelming, in terms of people signing up. They've sold out all the whole sponsorships, and they
really
have
good for them.
16, golf spots left, maybe less than that as of this morning, but, if you're interested in that, just go to joestrong.org and sign up. We'd certainly appreciate it. It's going to be a really fun event on Sunday, May 2nd.
Cool. I'm glad it's going so well.
Definitely.
Fantastic. All right. You wanted to. Okay. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, I feel like I'm in a cloud here. I was running along Ponte Vedra Boulevard, and I took my phone specifically to listen to you guys while I was running, and the live stream was blocked on Ponte Vedra Boulevard until 10:38, and I'm like, I missed the trivia question, I missed the market wrap, I missed everything going on with lumber prices and stuff like that. Oh my God, this has just destroyed my morning. I may have to jump out of my condominium or something like that.
Nope, it's the first floor.
I mean, you know, hey.
The show will be available.
I'm okay. I'm in good shape.
All right, the show will be available on our website on Tuesday, generally.
Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, Monday. I know. I just was like, what's going on?
Somebody usurped our internet connection for the first 38 minutes. Darn it.
I see that. So what was the trivia question? I don't mean to belabor it.
No, fine. Cost of lumber prior to 2018 for 1,000 board feet had never exceeded $500. What is it today? Uh-huh. And our bracket is 1,200 to 4,000.
Okay.
So we know it's really high.
Yeah, 1,200 to 4,000. Okay, so 4,000 on the high end. 3,247.
Okay, that's high. So our bracket has been further reduced. You're doing fine.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. I'll just try to get the podcast on Monday.
Well,
enjoy listening to you guys. You guys are very informative. So.
Well, thank you. We'll have words for the powers that be about usurping our internet connection at our time.
Yeah,
I thought it might have been the Russians or the Chinese off the coastline blocking the airways.
You just never know.
Take care of yourself. All right, guys. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. And you wanted to wrap up a little something, right? I know.
Yeah. So I was talking about COVID and the vaccine, and this week they suspended the J&J vaccine, which actually brought down our distribution rate, it's due to 6 or 7 cases of blood clotting among almost 7 million doses administered. So I have to admit I stole this from a friend, but it's literally 1 in 1 million. and the rate of blood clots is actually higher among people that get COVID. So I don't understand what that was all about. My favorite statistic of this week, the news is talking about quote-unquote breakthrough infections where people who are vaccinated get COVID. So far, there have been fewer than 6,000 cases of that. That is a rate of 0.008%. And the vaccines were advertised to be effective up to the mid-90th percent, so that means they are working very well.
Yep, agreed. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning.
What's happening?
How about that? I'd like to go for your lumber question there.
Sure.
I'd go to probably 1850.
You're still a little high. And I might say, thank God, right?
But they're trending in that direction.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've got some numbers for you. Don't hang up or don't fail to listen to the end of the show because after it's either gotten correctly or not, I'll tell you some numbers that will put some hair in your chest.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
We appreciate it. Thanks. Good morning, Larry.
1,800.
1,800, you're still not quite close enough, but still a little on the high side. But you got the right idea.
Yeah.
So keep
little
listening.
Google nanobot.
Nanobots, okay.
Nanobot.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the term. I don't
check
know much
that
about
out.
It. Okay, we'll do it. Thanks.
Later.
Bye. I think there's another one coming in, too. Anyway, you were... Oh, yeah, you're...
Yeah, just wrapped up the vaccine thing.
The vaccines are working beautifully.
They are. It's just the news trying to scare you, as usual, I might say.
If it bleeds, it leads media can always find somebody to quote.
Exactly. And the last thing I want to mention in the market wrap, which I am getting to in the very last minutes of our show, there were 29 economic data points released this week. They were mostly positive. That's been the trend. The big one, in my opinion, retail sales blew the doors off, increasing at a 9.8% rate after a disappointing February due to weather. It just absolutely crushed it.
Almost equal to that one, in my opinion, was the decrease in first-time unemployment claims.
Yes, which
was
massive as well. Yeah, so that's great news on both fronts. Just really good economic data coming out recently, and I think that's a trend we will continue to see.
And now... what would you do if you ran our government? I would play golf. I would sit back and kick my feet up and do absolutely nothing except all day, every day, take credit for it.
I mean, that seems like a good strategy.
Yeah, it's not the one that's being employed, unfortunately. We'll talk about that next week, too. All right, were you born after June 30th, 1949? I was.
I was.
Barely. There is some renewed news on the required minimum distribution front that you should know about. We have talked on and off about, first off, the change from the SECURE Act, where the required minimums did not have to start until age 72. Well, SECURE 2.0 was reintroduced in this Congress, and I think there is a better than even chance that that number is going to get bumped up to age 75.
Yay.
And for people like me and for people like Adam and for all the people who are living so much longer than they ever used to, this could be a wonderful thing. Now, 80% of people with IRAs and 401ks and so on have to withdraw that amount to live on. This will not impact them, but they could, if they had a windfall one year, they could cut way down or stop or whatever, possibly. I'm not sure how the law is going to be written. But for those of us who have not yet started and would really like this, just know that it's out there, it's been reintroduced, and the SECURE Act had, I think, a 417-3 margin in the House.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, there is a lot of bipartisan interest in this bill, so I'll keep you posted on a weekly basis. SALT news.
Yep. That's
state and local tax deductions. Also introduced, you probably know in the TCJA, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017, that took effect 1/1/18, the people who itemized deductions had their state and local tax deductions capped at $10,000. Now, if you're living in California, New York, New Jersey, you are paying through the nose for the state and local tax deductions. And there is a bipartisan move again because there are a lot of states that have a lot of different representatives in them and they're wealthy people. and you can read into that, donor class people, they are very irritated with that law. There are a lot of people in Congress who said they will not entertain anything about infrastructure or anything else unless that is lifted. I will suggest that there might be a compromise.
The thing is, it's so hypocritical.
It is, indeed.
You are talking about raising tax on millionaires.
Yep.
Who do you think would benefit from eliminating the salt tax deduction?
Yeah.
It's millionaires.
But, Adam, the nicest thing about being inside the Beltway.
Doesn't matter.
Hypocrisy is not spoken.
Exactly.
Ever. Well, anyway, it has been introduced, and it has, again, very high bipartisan support. My prediction is that something like this will pass, but I don't think they're going to just eliminate
it. No, I think it'll be bumped up.
Yeah, I think it'll be percentaged or something. You know,
yeah.
At least 10,000, but limited at 50% of the total or something like that. It might even phase back in. I could be wrong. Who knows? But there's also quite a lot of Social Security news going on in Congress and other places about rescuing it. The thing you should listen for if you're following the news is called the Trust Act that is aimed to save trust funds. Much more on that next week. 1295 is the answer for the current 1,000 board foot price of lumber. The one-year forward future is $15.94, and the five-year is $39.66. It won't happen, folks. The market will correct. See you next week. This is the Benway Financial Hour.